paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
This is Dr. Anthony Fauci. This is what he said yesterday.
A 31% improvement doesn't seem like a knockout 100%. It is a very important proof of concept, because what it is proven is that a drug can block this virus. And I'll give you an example in a moment of why we think, looking forward, this is very optimistic. The mortality rate trended towards being better in the sense of less deaths in the remdesivir group, 8% versus 11% in the placebo group. It has not yet reached statistical significance, but the data needs to be further analyzed.
Chicago's first family physician is Dr. Kevin Most. He's Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital's chief medical officer. Dr. Most, when you hear that, how enthusiastic are you?
John, I'm very enthusiastic. You know, we've been fortunate to be part of that study out here in the suburbs with Northwestern as well as downtown, and that is so encouraging. And people should be very encouraged for a couple reasons. One of them is, this is just the initial view of it. So we don't even know, did we use it at the opportune time? Did we use it at the opportune dose? We might even see better improvement as we get to have more people in the study and we check, is 200 milligrams the first dose? Is that right? Or should it be 250? Should we give it on day two of the symptoms, or should we wait till day five? So very encouraging news just on the basis of this initial study.
Well, I'll tell you what I also heard. The mortality rate doesn't even fall outside the margin of error. It went from 11% to 8%. Comment on that, Doc.
You know, John, there's a story of, you know, a guy walking down a beach and he picks up a sand dollar and he throws it into the ocean. And someone says, well, why are you doing that? There's thousands of these. And he said, you'll never make a difference. He said, did I make a difference on that one? So, you know, if you're in that 3% difference right there, again, with a study that has not been fully vetted as far as the most opportune, I think you will start to see bigger changes in the mortality rate as well.
This is not a brand new drug, is it?
Not at all, John. It was actually initially made to hopefully treat Ebola. And because Ebola, another RNA-based virus, they said, let's see if this works. And it fell kind of flat on its face. Now, when COVID came up and it was an RNA virus, Gilead said, why, this might be a good drug. Let's try it. And I'll tell you, people think of pharmaceutical companies and they often feel very poorly about them and bad about them. You know, if you want to put one and kind of pat it on the back, it's Gilead. Gilead has already made 1.5 million doses and has donated them to this study. Assuredly, they're going to get something good out of it. But boy, they took a big risk. If this study would have come out negative, they would have spent a whole heck of a lot of money making a million doses that would be worthless.
Our Pet Central expert Steve Dale was talking to us about this very drug about 3 or 4 weeks ago when the virus first hit. He was familiar with the drug because that or a version of it is used to treat, I believe, the coronavirus in cats.
Correct.
So this thing has been kind of sitting around. Did somebody just go, hey, let's take it off a shelf and start giving it to people and see if it works?
Yeah, you know, once this virus was noted, obviously, late December, early January, within 8 days, we had the molecular breakdown of it, and we knew that it was an RNA-based virus. Once they knew that, they started looking at it, going back, saying, okay, it's an RNA-based virus. What drugs have we thought of, or what drugs have we tried in the past? And remdesivir was one of them.
So then this would treat the symptoms, but it's not an it's not a vaccine. It's not going to keep you from getting it. It would just, once you get it, make it less punishing, huh?
Correct. So we all know Tamiflu, right? Everyone knows Tamiflu. If you get influenza, you know, during the flu season, we always stress, make sure you get in within the first 2 days, because Tamiflu will shorten the duration from 8 days, you know, from 14 days down to 8 days for the influenza. It's the exact same with this. it stops the virus from replicating. So it's not an antibiotic. It's not going to go in and kill all the virus, but it's going to get in, and whatever load of virus you have there, it's going to stop or slow them from replicating. So instead of making a million copies of the virus and causing a lot of inflammation, it's going to cut that down to tens of thousands. So it'll decrease the symptoms and shorten the duration. And the nice thing about when you talk about the mortality, you know, we need to look at when was this given? Was this given too late, and that's why the mortality hasn't made a change? And can we give it earlier and make a big impact?
What does Fauci mean when he says that this could then be used within in a cocktail of other drugs? I mean, other drugs would fight in a different direction, or how would they complement each other?
Yes, Steve, it's interesting. You know, when we look at this illness, some people, like we said, have no symptoms whatsoever. Other people have very, very bad symptoms. The very bad symptoms are not actually caused by, we'll say, the virus. It's actually caused by the body's response to the virus. So if we gave remdesivir along with another medication that would stop the cytokine storm, an anti-IL-6, that combination would say, wait, we're not only going to treat the virus to stop its replication, but we're also going to stop the bad things that the body does to itself that causes the big problems with ARDS in the lungs and causes death in sometimes. So we're going to see that there might be a cocktail of drugs, kind of like you look at NyQuil, where it's got a whole bunch of different things in it that says, okay, we're concerned about renal, we're concerned about lungs. Let's put two medications in there and let's slow down the virus. Now we have the perfect cocktail for once we make a diagnosis, we're going to slow the replication and we're going to stop those side effects and those other problems from happening.
What should the policymakers do with this? What should the politicians do with this information?
Well, I think this is one that let's let the scientists make sure that they're allowed and some flexibility. So as far as emergency use from the FDA, you know, right now it's all experimental. This should really be taken off of, boy, you need to be on a study to do this. Let's make sure that we're doing it properly. But let's make sure that we have large-based studies that are well-funded so that we can look at thousands of patients, look at different doses, look at different timings. So in the fall when we come back, it's, boy, not remdesivir might work. It's remdesivir is given on day four with this, this, and this, and you're going to get the best outcome. You're going to see a huge decrease in your mortality,
okay,
and you're going to see a shortened duration.
But if I go to the game and somebody's got, we don't have a vaccine, if they've got COVID-19, I'll still get COVID-19 if I'm sitting next to them at the game, maybe. But I could take remdesivir, and maybe it won't bother me so much. And I wonder if, as a matter of public policy, that's a way we should go or not.
I can assure you, John, that with this news, Gilead and everyone else is looking for the potential of an oral medication. You have to remember, this medication is given IV, but an oral medication that could be given early to block. We actually use that, if you think about it, with the H1N1 a few years ago with Tamiflu. Right? We were giving people Tamiflu prophylactically because they may get exposed and we wanted to protect them if they happen to get the virus. The same thing could happen here if we had a simple way to give this dose orally. Someone in your family gets exposed, everyone starts taking this right now instead of the illness going through the entire family.
Okay, but I'm imagining me going to a baseball game or basketball, football game, to a concert.
Yeah.
So I don't have the symptoms. I don't know anybody that's sick, but I'm going to go with 40,000 people. So would I take this drug prophylactically then?
Yeah, potentially, if we could make it to a point where it's an oral, you'd almost take it like a vitamin, to be honest with you, depending on the dosing, until we got to the point of a vaccine protecting us long term. You have to remember, this medication is only going to work while it's in your system. The half-life of it, you know, we're giving it daily, so the half-life is probably in the magnitude of hours. So we'd have to come up with an oral dose that we would dose appropriately until we get to a vaccine that's going to protect us all.
Man, somebody's going to get rich.
Somebody may get rich, John. And
I'm
you know
okay
what?
With that, and I'm okay with that.
Yep, I was just going to say, if we save 100,000 lives, I'm okay with a guy getting rich.
Save 100,000 lives and enable the economy to function again. In a way, you can't put a price on this.
You can't. And you know what? It's not even the economy, John. It's the mental health of us. You talk about going to the baseball game. Sure, that increases our economy, but how much better does it make you feel well, unless you go to a Cubs game, but how much better does it make you feel to be outside at a sporting event and enjoying something? That's the, some of the things that are being taken away from us that our mental health is going to have to figure out what we're going to do to replace that.
Are you worried that you should tamper down your enthusiasm a little, Doctor?
You know what? I am, but to be honest with you, after going through the last whatever we've gone through here and seeing the people that we have that have been suffering and what's going on, this little glimmer of light, I'm not going to let it tamper down right now. I'm going to, you know, it's a safe drug. We know that. If it shows that it works, let's continue to do it. We also have many other people working on vaccines and other medications, but I think it's time for us to at least see a little glimmer of light and hopefully a little smile.
One last question for you, Dr. Most, and it was one that Ji Suk Yi asked last night here on WGN to another physician, as I recall. How do you guys keep up with this, and how do you all, literally, how do you keep up with this, and how do you share this information with other people that need it?
Yeah, John, I just, you know, you wanted to be on, and or you wanted me on today, and I said I cannot get on until 11:30, because at 11 o'clock I'm on a phone call with 100 people here at Northwestern. Prior to that, I was on a call with probably 300 chief medical officers from across the state. Dr. Jay Shannon is updating us every other day on what's going on and what's happening and gives us an opportunity to share as well. Once we get off that call, we're sharing it with everyone in our local hospitals. So this is a fast moving. This is changing the tires on a car that's still moving, but we're doing it every day. And fortunately, we kind of live for this game, and I have to look out for burnout in our physicians, but right now we're hanging in there.
So those calls are to you all what our calls to you are to us.
Yeah.
If you follow my drift.
Yes, I do follow your drift. You know, and I appreciate when you asked for me to come on, you know, giving someone an opportunity to at least share what's going on in the community and what some simple recommendations are and perhaps correct some fallacies. I appreciate you doing that.
Okay, we'll go back to reading and researching and treating and doing the things that you do, Doctor. Thanks for your time today.
You got it, John. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Dr. Kevin Most, the unpaid member of our staff, the first family physician of Chicago from Northwestern Medicine.